We've got some interesting data on the effect of aromatase inhibitors in DCIS. What we did is a study in invasive cancer, 206 patients with 209 tumours, where we randomised them to either get 14 days of letrozole or 14 days of anastrozole. And we couldn't really find any difference in invasive cancer between anastrozole and letrozole in terms of the switch off of proliferation.
This is neoadjuvant setting.
Well, it's a preoperative setting because they only got 14 days.
Right.
It's like a short neoadjuvant, or we call it preoperative.
Sort of biologic study.
Yeah. The importance of that is that Mitch Dowsett will present at this meeting some data showing that 14-day Ki-67 predicts for what happens afterwards.
And that's from the IMPACT trial.
That's from the IMPACT trial that we were involved in
right.
as well.
That was basically attack neoadjuvant.
That's right. But I think what's interesting about that is it's validated the idea of if you measure proliferation after 2 weeks, if your proliferation goes down or is low after 2 weeks on a drug, then you're going to get good long-term outcome. If you don't get any fall in proliferation, then that indicates your cancer is resistant.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. Incidentally, is the same thing true of chemotherapy? Or has it been looked at?
Yes, it's been looked at. But the problem about chemotherapy compared with endocrine therapy is sampling time. The reason is you give chemotherapy in pulses. When do you sample to find out what's it doing to the tumor? The great thing with endocrine therapy, you're on it all the time.
But I mean, if you give somebody chemotherapy and you look 14 days later, has their proliferation rate dropped?
Oh, yes. The proliferation rate drops within a few days. They've not really shown that that correlates with outcome. But there are only a small number of studies looking at that. It seems, for some reason, more difficult to sample these patients.
And in this study, in the invasive cancers, what fraction of patients with, obviously, ER-positive tumors that you're selecting for this have drops at 2 weeks?
Most of the patients, about 90% of the patients, actually have drops at 2 weeks. What we did also in that study was we got our pathologist to look through the core biopsies and the final histology and find out how many of them had DCIS, and then looked at the effect on the DCIS. And what we found was that, first of all, to our surprise, DCIS was as proliferating as much as the invasive cancer.
Wow.
So that's the first observation. Second observation was that the DCIS was proliferating at roughly the same rate as the cancer in that individual patient. In other words, if your cancer was highly proliferative, your DCIS was highly proliferative. So there's pretty good correlation between that, which I thought that was quite interesting.
That is interesting. Could you tell whether or not the AIs were having an effect in terms of getting rid of the DCIS?
You couldn't tell whether the AIs were getting rid of the DCIS, but what you could see is that the AIs were remarkably effective at switching off proliferation in the DCIS, and we got something like 80% switch off of proliferation. So that's, if you take the level at which they started as 100%, it was down to 20% within a couple of weeks. And we saw other biological effects as well. The progesterone receptor was reduced, switched off. So these were pretty potent biological effects on DCIS. And to some extent, it starts to give us an insight to why AIs probably more effective at stopping other cancers developing, because they work on these other earlier lesions and they're remarkably effective. Although there are some studies now using AIs in DCIS, it gets me thinking that if I was a patient with DCIS and I knew what I know about AIs, then I'd be thinking an AI might be a good idea.